You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4 today. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to wrap up 2 Timothy. We've taught on 1 Timothy, which is an amazing thing. It was basically down with false teaching, up with the church. That's the theme of 1 Timothy. And then 2 Timothy to look and to say, this is how we live out our faith. They're written 4 years apart. So 1 Timothy, then 2 Timothy 4 years later. And we're going to look at the last words of Paul. He's going to finish his race with these words. We're going to see him go across the finish line, if you will. He's going to have run his Ironman. He's going to have biked. He's going to have swam. He's going to have run his marathon and to cross the finish line and to get across the finish line. Amazing things. Last week I was with our Siena campus on Sunday afternoon, and we've got amazing building coming out of the ground there. We wrote prayer requests down on the floors. And so we're about to the finish line there with our Siena campus. I just want to let y'all know that, because God's at work there. Can we just give a cheer for Siena that's out there right now, that they're knocking it out? So good. We're going to get to that finish line. We'll celebrate that. Lots of great stuff in Cyprus and downtown going on as well. But to be able to see with Paul crossing this finish line, this Ironman finish. Now, to get our minds around this, of what would it be like if we, when we cross that finish line, stepping into heaven? People welcoming, people celebrating. Maybe we're just making it over the line. It's been a struggle, but to be able to celebrate that and to think about Paul and his finish line and to get our minds around that, I want to show you some clips from the Ironman finish line in Hawaii and think about Paul crossing this line of going into eternity with Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought to think about when we step across that finish line and step into heaven and your loved ones greet you there, they welcome you there, a great cloud of heavenly witnesses is cheering you on, to cheer you on to say, go, go, keep going, keep going. We're going to see Paul's finish line here, his last words that he's ever going to write. An amazing man of God, wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and Paul's last words are what we're going to look at here as he crosses this finish line and looks into it. And what he's going to do is he's going to teach us how to make it through hard times. How do we make it through hard times? Because life is not easy. Life is not something that just comes along to us real easily. It's something that's difficult. So let's look here in his writing from 67 AD in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14 is where we're going to start. Now, we looked at last week all the different people, a lot of the different people that ministered to him and he ministered to, but we're going to get to a person that was opposed to him. And here's what it says in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him. He's talking this to Timothy, a young pastor in Ephesus. Watch out for him yourself because he strongly opposed our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why? So that I may fully proclaim the word, preach the word, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his kingdom, his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's the first thing that we've got to know is the Lord is with us in our hardest times. In your hardest times, Jesus is there. In your hardest times, Jesus is there. Now, Paul is in a dungeon. He's in a prison. He's thinking about Alexander, the metal worker or the coppersmith that came against him, that opposed him. Now, some people believe that Alexander is actually the one that turned him in so that now Paul is in jail and going to die. I'll tell you in a little bit. So he thinks that some people think that Alexander is the one that made that happen, that got him into this prison. So he's saying to Timothy, now, I want you to look out for Alexander. Because I want you to understand that he is opposed to us, that he has against our words, against the gospel. Alexander's not a safe guy. He's not a good guy. I want you to be aware of that. Now, Timothy, I want you to trust the Lord in it, but I want you to be aware of it. They also think that maybe Alexander was one of the folks that rioted in Acts chapter 19. Do you remember Acts 19? Paul is preaching the gospel and all of the idol makers get together and they begin to riot in Ephesus. And they take him into the big city amphitheater and they're going to kill him. And they're saying, look, if he keeps preaching the gospel about Jesus Christ, we're going to lose all of our business. They think that maybe Alexander was one of those metal workers that was making the idols and that Paul was who he came against. And they wanted to kill Paul. Now, Paul, everywhere he went, it was either a revival or a riot. Those are the two things that happened with Paul. And so here, this time, it was a riot. They think that might have been Alexander. See, the hardest times that you and I go through, Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there with us. Now, you've got to hear that because that's a tough truth. And that's something we've got to really process. We've got to really hold on to. That's a major trust moment. Why? Because faith and feelings are always jockeying for who's going to be number one. Will your feelings be number one or will your faith be number one? And when you go through hard times, it doesn't feel like God's with you. It doesn't feel like Jesus is here. Because if he was here, why doesn't he do something about it? But we have to have our faith activated to say, I want my faith to be number one and my feelings to be number two. And your Christian life and my Christian life is going to be a battle over our feelings being over our faith or our faith being over our feelings. Now, here's the deal. Both of them are important. Feelings are great. God gives us feelings. That's a wonderful thing. But feelings are not to be primary, they're to be secondary to our faith. Because if you're only going to walk with God when you feel like it, you're not going to walk with God. You got to walk with God because you believe it, that no one will snatch me from his hand, that no one can come against me, that nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, that Jesus is alive, that he's resurrected, that he's here for me in my troubles, that even though Alexander the metal worker may come against me, the Lord will repay him. He'll take care of that. Timothy, you just keep walking. You stay warned, but you keep walking. Because there's a wisdom and there's a walk. Wisdom is look out for Alexander. Walking is you keep trusting the Lord even in the midst of it. Now, I just got to tell you this, and you know this, but I'm just going to speak it out loud. There are many that are opposed in our country to Christianity. Many in the world. Many that are opposed. And it seems to get worse and worse and worse in our country, which was founded upon Christian principles. Newsweek did an article called Acceptable Hate Assaults, Christianity Goes Overlooked. Time Magazine did an article, Regular Christians No Longer Welcomed in American Culture. You can read the headlines and you can see all this stuff and you can see that there's many Alexanders coming against. So we're wise. We understand. We see. We take that into mind. We understand that we need to vote in the right directions. We need to do the right things. We need to go in the right direction. We need to be a person that shows love to people that are opposed. We need to break down those walls, but we need to also be wise. Innocent as doves, but wise as serpents, to be able to understand that there are many that are opposed. So he says, Timothy, I want you to look out. You're the pastor of Ephesus. That's why I think Alexander might have been one of those idol makers in Ephesus. I want you to look out for him, but I want you to trust that the Lord's going to take care of it. Do you see the balance there? We've got trust, and we've got also wisdom that's happening here. We've got faith over feelings. And if we walk with faith over feelings and we walk in wisdom, then we're going to make some direction. We're going to make some headway with the Lord. Now, Paul is going through a hard time and he says, Jesus is here. We'll get to that in just a second. Now, let me remind you where he is. He's in what's called the Mamertine prison. If you ever go to Rome, you need to go to this place. Let me show you a picture of it. Showed it to you last week, but I want us to have it fresh in our mind. This is the entrance of it. Obviously, that wasn't there when they had this as a prison, but this is right by the Roman Forum in the city, main parts of Rome. So there's the Mamertine prison. And now this is what it looks like inside. This is where Paul was held. Now, prison is a nice word for it. That's a pretty word for it. That hole is what he got lowered down with ropes They would drop food into that hole. There would be rats in there. He would go to the restroom in the same room that he was eating in the same room that he's writing this. Imagine trying to get the light to come through that hole so that he can write down what we're writing here, what we're reading here. He's in this Mamertine prison. That's where the worst of worst criminals were held. And that's where Paul is as he's writing these last words. And he's saying, but the Lord's with me. But the Lord's with me. One of Kelly's friends said something I thought was really wise. She said this, we have to understand what a real problem is. So many times we're misdiagnosing so many things are not real problems. It's because we're spoiled and soft that we're calling it a problem. Paul in the dungeon of the Mamertine prison with Nero on the throne is a real problem for Paul. Nero came into power in 54 AD. Rome burned in 64 AD and he blamed it on the Christians. Nero was a maniac. He would cover people in wax, Christians in wax, and then put them up on stakes and light them to light the night in his gardens. He'd set them on fire. He killed many of his relatives. He would take believers and he would take the carcass of an animal and he would put them into the carcass of an animal, sew them shut alive, and throw them out in the carcass of a dead animal, and the dogs would then begin to eat. That's the kind of guy we're dealing with here. And Rome has this worst prison, and Nero puts Paul in this prison, and yet out of this prison, we will see a smile from Paul. We'll see a stance from Paul that the Lord is with him, and we'll see that we can trust, if Paul could trust, we can trust that in our hardest times, Jesus is with us. The presence of God is with you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've trusted in the resurrected Christ that now he lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells your heart, and you abide in him, and he abides in you, and everywhere you go, he's with you. And everywhere you kneel, he's there for prayer. Every place you lay your head, he's right there with you. That in the hardest and worst times, he's right there, and his purposes will stand. His will be done. So he says, Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourselves because he strongly opposed our words. Verse 16, look at what happens here. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Three things I want to give you for a hard time. Number one, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. He says with Alexander, the Lord will repay him for what he's done. He says, and later on, we're going to see that the Lord will rescue me out of evil. The Lord will fight for you. Let me just give you some verses of scripture. And you could just, if you wanted to, just let them roll over you. Close your eyes. Listen to them, whatever you need to be able to do. The Lord will fight for you. Let me give you some scriptures. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be silent. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, for the Lord your God, he goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. Joshua 23:3, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. 2 Chronicles 20:17, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You need not fight this battle. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22, it says, and the Lord will hand over all your enemies, and he will provide for you on every side. Psalm 18:39, for you equipped me with strength for battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their trouble. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Proverbs 20, verse 22, do not say I'll repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. Paul might have been thinking about that proverb. Four more. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid of them, for I will deliver you, declares the Lord. Romans 8:31, for what shall we say to these things? For God is for us, who can be against us? And lastly, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Do you hear it? The Lord will fight for you. He's right there. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that it won't feel like your faith is misplaced, but that the Lord will fight for you. Number two, the Lord will stand by you. He'll not just fight for you. The Lord will stand by you. It said in verse 16, at my first defense, that's him standing up in front of a courtroom, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. may it not be counted against them. Doesn't that sound like Jesus on the cross? For forgive them, they know not what they do. As the Lord hung on the cross and everybody had left. But the Lord stood with me, verse 17, and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and the Gentiles might hear it. I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will stand by you. Isn't that good news? He'll stand by you. When everybody else leaves, he will stand by you. Teenagers, can I just give you a word? I wish it wasn't the truth, but here's the truth. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have the strength to stand by yourself at times. Sorry. But that standing by yourself at times is going to accelerate your walk with God, because what you're going to realize is you're going to realize that the Lord is with you and that he is with you, and you plus God is a majority. And everybody else that's fickle, you stand with God who's faithful. So as a teenager, as a young adult, as a single adult, married, we could go all the way into senior adult, whatever you want to do, to be able to say, we've all got to be able to have the fortitude to say, I'm going to stand, and if I stand alone, I'm going to stand with God. When everybody's going left, you're going to have to go right. When everybody's going here, you're going to have to go there. When everybody's too busy for God, you're going to have to get on your knees and spend time with the Lord. And Paul says, one of the most impactful people to ever walk the face of the earth, Paul says, no one stood with me. Doesn't that just make you want to cry? I mean, Paul, all the friendships of Paul, and no one stood with him, but the Lord stood with me. Number three, the Lord will rescue you. The Lord will rescue you. He'll fight for you. He'll stand by you, and the Lord will rescue you. He says in verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So I'm going to leave earth. He's going to leave planet earth, but God's going to welcome me into his kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will rescue you. Now it says that he was rescued out of the lion's mouth. I thought this was for years. I always thought this was Nero, and it could be. But what it probably is the lion is symbolic of trouble. Lion's also symbolic of the enemy, Satan, right? And so that he's been rescued out of trouble. Psalm 22, verse 21 says, save me from the lion's mouth. So whether it was Nero, whether it was Satan, whether it was just trouble, it doesn't matter. He says, I'm going to be rescued from the lion's mouth. Now, he's still going to be beheaded, but he's going to be rescued from the lion's mouth and being taken into eternity. As he stands, God's going to welcome him. That finish line is going to be met with an embrace. That finish line is going to be something that he steps over in an amazing way. Do you know that Paul stood true no matter what? There's a book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox was the author, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think every Christian ought to have this on their shelf. And I got it in college. And it's a hard book. You're not going to read the whole thing. You shouldn't read the whole thing. You're going to read about two pages and go, whoa, I can't take anymore. Because it's basically a book about those martyred for the faith. So it is death and torture and destruction and terrible. But every Christian ought to have it on their shelf for this reason, because you need to be reminded of the price that was paid for us to sit today and to walk with God. There's a guy named Thomas Hawkes. In the 1500s, Thomas Hawkes, with six others, was condemned on the 9th of February, 1555. In education, he was knowledgeable. In person, he was comely and of good stature. In manners, he was a gentleman, and he was a sincere Christian. And what happened is he was condemned to die because he would not recant his faith. He would not pull back his faith. He said, no, this is what I believe, and I'm going to stand on it. And they said, well, if you say that, then you're going to die. So the night before he died, some of his friends came together and they said, Thomas, you're going to die. They're going to burn you at the stake. And so they all got around him and they said, we need you to give us a sign, because they may be coming for us too. And we need you to give us a sign. If the pain is tolerable, if you feel the presence of God with you, could you do something that would show us that that's happening as you're dying? He said, what I'll do is if I can show you that the pain is tolerable and you can endure it, the presence of God is with me, I will lift my hands above my head as I'm burning at the stake. So they took him the next day and crowd gathered around. Crazy how humans, we like the macabre. Don't think we're better than that. Look at the movies we watch. They surrounded around him. They chained him to the stake. They lit the fire, and the fire engulfed this man because he would not recant his faith. And they couldn't see him anymore. And as they couldn't see him anymore, they thought, well, maybe not, maybe not. And then his hands went up. And he clapped three times. And the place erupted in celebration. They erupted in joy. And after he clapped three times, he fell to the ground and gave up his spirit, is what it says in this book. And I just tell you this, the presence of God is with you in the flames. When the doctor says cancer, when the bank account says there's not much money, teenagers, when everybody cool's doing something else, when you lose your job, maybe he clapped Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't know. But he clapped in the midst of that to say, God is with me. And I'm telling you from the words of Paul, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will stand with you. The Lord will rescue you. Let your faith be higher than your feelings. Let your wisdom and your walk go together. As you cross the finish line one day and trusting in God, you let God do his work and trust that that would happen. And this man, Thomas Hawkes, is still being talked about today. Paul died for his faith. They took him out of that prison. They walked him down a pathway to a place that's now called the Abbey of Three Fountains. I've been there before. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It was outside of Rome. They took him there so that Nero could behead him, is why he was taken there. Let me show you a picture of what the last walkway looks like. It's a beautiful walkway. I tried to find my picture that didn't have anybody in it, but somehow on the internet, two middle-aged women talking is what we got in the middle of the walkway. Headed down to this church that wasn't there. That's where they built it, because they would build churches over the top of places of significance. And what the story is, I don't personally think this is what happened, but this is what the story is. He was beheaded. I do believe that part. They say that his head bounced three times. And when his head bounced three times, a fountain sprung up three places. I don't know. But here it is. They call it the Abbey of Three Fountains. When I walk down that pathway, thinking about Paul's final walk as he was beheaded for his faith. You know that Peter died on the same day in Rome? Peter was crucified upside down, said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same way that my Savior was crucified. They crucified him upside down in what's called St. Peter's Square. It's where the Pope speaks. You know, you've seen that before. There's an obelisk that's right there, this statue thing that sticks up. That's where Peter was crucified. That's why St. Peter Cathedral there, a basilica that's there. It's this huge thing, and that's where St. Peter was crucified. Can you imagine as a believer in Christ in Rome that Paul and Peter are killed on the same day? Can you imagine that? The fear that would strike in your heart that Paul and Peter are killed on the same day and you're here and you're being blamed as a Christian for the burning of Rome. And Paul says, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will stand by you. The Lord will rescue you. You'll be rescued from planet Earth and you will be taken to heaven to trust in him. You stand true and stand strong. I love what John Wesley says. John Wesley says, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. His work continues because Paul taught Timothy and Timothy taught Ephesus and Ephesus went on missions throughout and missions throughout ended up with some pilgrims coming over to us so that we could be here. And somebody in Houston could say, why don't we start a church? And they could start our church even and other churches even and to see God do his work. God is with you in the trial. He's with you in the strain. He's with you in the hard times. He's with you. You walk by faith, not by feeling. You walk in wisdom. Yes, walk in the walk as well, but know that he is with you. Now watch Paul turn this pain to a smile in verse 19. He's going to end with a smile here. Instead of all the people that were against him, he's going to talk about the ones that were with him. Greet Prisca and Aquila. That could be Priscilla and Aquila. It's the same people. It's not could be, it is them. And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus. Erastus was a politician. It says at the end of Rome in chapter 16, verse 23, he was the city treasurer. He was in charge of the public works, but he was on God's team. Erastus has remained in Corinth. I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. and make every effort to come to me before winter. Eulabus greets you, as do Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Here's what had Paul in his mind. Whether it was true in number or not, it was true in his heart. The good ones outnumbered the bad. The good ones outnumbered the bad. He could have dwelt on Demas, we talked about last week. He could have dwelt on Alexander. He could have dwelt on everybody deserted him. But instead, he says, let me tell you about my pals. Paul, in his writings, has over 100 people that he references that are people that are around him. Priscilla and Aquila are his favorite couple. He talks about them all the time. He loves that couple. Talks about them all the time. You look there on Linus. That's not Snoopy's friend, okay? This is a different Linus. Linus, our Catholic friends, would say he was the Pope after Peter. Protestants would say he's the second bishop of Rome. So Linus was a leader in the Roman church there in Rome. You look at these people here. Erastus, as I told you, was working for the government there, but shining with Jesus. And here he is with Timothy, and he's saying, I want you to know these people were amazing, and they were right there with me. Paul finished his race. Do you know when marathon runners hit the wall? Heard that phrase before, hitting the wall? It happens at mile 20. That means you're 77% finished with the race. What a terrible time to give up. I mean, if you're going to give up at 7% of the race, right? Just take a step and be like, I'm done. You know, that's it. That's, and go home. 77% of the race. And here Paul, people hit the wall in a marathon. And here Paul is on his last dying day. And he says, I'm going to finish because I've got some friends around me. Let me just ask you this question. Do you have some Christian friends? Do you have Christian friends? They're so important to you and me finishing the race. Just this week, Kelly and I were talking about two dear friends of ours. They live in the Dallas area. The guy, we've been best friends since sixth grade. The same homeroom in sixth grade, way back when. We talked about him a couple times this week, and I just called him and got his voicemail and said, hey, man, we've just been talking about you this week. We just miss you guys. We miss y'all. We hadn't seen y'all and talked to y'all in a while. Let's talk. Call us back. Christian friends, you need them. The back of the first Bible that I ever had, I wrote down, I used it all through college. I wrote down in 1996, I wrote down 14 people that were in ministry at the same time I was. 8 out of 14 are still in ministry. Grieves me that the list will probably get smaller with people not finishing. Do you have Christian friends? Are you a Christian friend? Do you encourage people in their faith? If you don't have Christian friends, man, I'm so glad you're at church because this is a great place to meet people and to make Christian friends. It's a great place. If you do have Christian friends, are you grateful that someone stands with you in the fire? Someone's there to call you and ask you how the doctor's appointment went. Somebody's there after school. Somebody's there in the pain. Somebody's there in the grief. Somebody encourages you. Somebody shoots you a text. Do you have it? Are you that? Let that be something we take from Paul. Let's don't hit the wall 77% into the race. Let's keep running and letting God do his work. Look at the last words of Paul, a man in a dungeon about to be beheaded by Nero. And look at what he says for his final words. What's he going to say? Well, this is terrible. How could God do this to me? I'm Paul. This is what he says, verse 22. The Lord be with your spirit. Speaking to Timothy, his young son in the faith. Grace be with you all. The last words of Paul are the presence and the grace of God be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. May the presence of God be with you. May you sense that he's with you when you have to stand alone. Because Timothy, you're going to have to stand alone at some point. May you sense the Spirit of God. And may grace be on all of you. Jesus Christ finished the race for us. He hung on the cross, condemned to die, falsely accused, But he went to the cross to die for us and to pay the price. What did he say from the cross? It is finished. And what did he say from the cross? Forgive them. They know not what they do. What does Paul do here? He says, as I follow Christ, follow me. Paul looks a lot like Jesus, saying the presence of God with you and the grace of God with you as well. As he gives his life, is going to be killed just soon after this, and he finishes his Iron Man. What will it be like when you finish that Iron Man of life? You've got Christian friends that are welcoming you, that are already there. Maybe you're like my grandmother, and she used to tell me, Greg, I got more friends in heaven than I do on earth. They will welcome you in. You keep being that friend. You keep sharing that. Maybe Paul will be there to welcome you. Maybe Timothy will be there to welcome you. I'm hoping my last name's Mott. I'm hoping Matthew, at least I'll be alphabetically in order, close to him. I can meet him. And to let God do his work as you step across that finish line. We don't know when it'll be. But we know that when we trust Jesus, he's going to be with us every step of the way. Teenager, you walk with God. Single adult, you walk with God. Married, you walk with God. She's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. That's your soulmate. You walk with God. And you walk in those ways as you get older and older to trust the Lord. And what will happen is you'll make it through everything. Think of all that God's already taken you through. And he'll take you through the whole thing. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we know many have paid a price. And we misdefine real problems all the time. And I don't think we're going to be physically burned at the stake, but we may be socially made fun of. We may have to stand stronger than what we need to stand, but Father, we pray in the power and the presence and the grace of Jesus that you would stand with us. We'd know that. We'd walk by faith, not by feelings. You'd rescue us. You'd fight for us, God. You would do your work. We pray for that, and we thank you. May we walk with you, God. Thank you for 2 Timothy, written in the Mamertine prison. By a godly man who finished his race. We take these words as important and real and true. So as we live in a culture that is continually more in opposition, may we just shine brighter in a dark world. May people come to Christ, Lord. And would you use us? We love you. Take just a moment. It's a heavy message. Just respond to God before we worship. Ask him to give you the strength to preach the word, to finish the race. Ask him to give you the strength to clap in the midst of the challenges. Lord, we're weak, but we love you. And we want to walk with you. That's our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.